Hallelujah. Welcome to this week's teaching by Exchange Church Belfast. Our heart at Exchange is for you to experience a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and to thrive in life. If you want to call by for a Sunday service, we'd love for you to join us at 10:30 a.m. for a wee cuppa, followed by worship from 11. You can also connect with us via our Facebook page, Exchange Church Belfast, our Twitter at Exchange Church, our Vimeo, exchangechurch.tv, and our website, of course, exchangechurchbelfast.com. And it would be great to hear from you. Now, over to this week's talk.
So in my long meditation over what to talk about this morning, I thought I would start with this one. Whose voice are you listening to? Because I don't know what your day is like, but I feel like my day is often filled with lots of different voices from the minute you kind of open your eyes with the, mommy, or I can't find my, that's normally Andrew, where's this, where's that, and just different things. You're just kind of bombarded with voices from the minute you open your eyes. Could be your kids, your husband, your friends, your family, and then you have the voices through the phone now, our phones that we love to have them, we've panicked when we don't have them. I actually don't know where mine is this morning, which means one of my children could be running around with it in kids' church, because it was sitting up at the front. But then there's all the voices that come through, the texts, the emails, the different things, there's the news. We're just bombarded by so many voices, aren't we? So many things filling our heads. And some of them are encouraging voices, you know, let's not dismiss that. There are loads of people who really encourage us in life, and we so appreciate hearing from them. There are some just factual things that are going on. Andrew and I kind of joke half the time about our text messages. We have the nice romantic ones, and then there's, can you make sure you get milk on the way home? Can you make sure you get this on the way home? You know, all of the, like, just passing information between each other. And then there's the voices that are quite demanding in your lives, aren't there? The ones, maybe it's your boss, maybe it's people you're working with, maybe it's even in family situations. It can be whatever, but there can be voices that we don't like hearing from. But I think the voice that we struggle with the most is often the inner voice. The voice that speaks on the inside of us. The voice that tells us the things that we don't want to hear. And sometimes I think it's not even that we recognize it's a voice. Sometimes it's not even as articulate as something being spoken in your head, but it's sometimes even like a feeling, an unease. And sometimes there's a message playing on the inside of us. And sometimes it's still down that low that we can't really articulate what it's telling us, but it's telling us that there's something wrong. It's not something encouraging. And on my journey, I've realized one of the greatest keys for me for finding victory is learning to lean into the voice of truth, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Father, the voice of Jesus, and to silence the voice of the enemy, the voice that's telling me everything that I don't want to hear. But sometimes even differentiating and working out what that voice is can be tricky. And I was thinking actually of as babies when we're in our mother's wombs, we learn even within the womb, it's told that a baby learns to recognize its mother's voice, and that's the very first bond that a baby has, is actually hearing and differentiating its mother's voice. So then when it's born, it already knows, this is my mom, and it can already understand and bond with its mother. And I thought, we've been created to respond to words. We've been created to respond to what is spoken to us. And I think yet one of my sometimes greatest struggles is being able to hear the voice of my Father, my Heavenly Father, being able to hear the voice of Jesus. And how much more should we be able to hear his voice if we've got the natural ability in the womb to hear our mother's voice? How much more should we be able to hear the voice of our Creator? If he's given us the ability to hear physically, and he's given us the ability to even differentiate within the womb the sound of our mother's voice, how much more has he given us the ability to hear his voice and to know his word in our heart? And yet we can make it so difficult, and people make it so complicated, don't they? And you hear some people, and it's like they're continually talking to God. Oh, yeah, well, God told me this, and then God told me that, and then I went to do this, and God, you know, and they're continually talking about what God's told them. Then other people feel like, I don't know what God said to me, and they get all confused as to what is God and what's not God and what's me, and am I just making this up? We can make it so complicated. But whenever I look at what challenges I have in my life, I can always attribute it back to the fact that it's been a voice contrary to what God says about me or God's plan for my life. When I look at difficulties that I've come across and things that I'm struggling with, it's always because there's a voice going against what God says. So I was thinking, how do we hear God's voice and know when we are listening to lies? How do we recognize the two? And I was thinking about those verses that we learned. I don't know if Ryan's going to be able to put verses up for me or not, because this is a little bit last minute. But if you can, you can. If you can't, don't worry. But this is one of the ones, like we memory verses that we do with the kids. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. So we, you know, that's one that we've heard lots of times, and we get our kids to remember it. And that's an amazing verse, Psalm 119, verse 5. And it becomes so familiar that we sometimes miss the richness of what's really being said there. Because how many times are we in situations where things just seem dark, where we're confused, where we don't know what to do? And yet he's telling us his word is the light. It's the lamp to our feet. It's the light to our path. How many times do we feel that we wake up and we feel like nothing's secure? Everything just feels all over the place. And we don't know where we're going. And we don't know what the path is. And yet he's telling us that his word is the lamp to our feet. His word is the light to our path. He's there for us. We can feel at times there can be another lie that comes in that says you're alone, that you're on your own, that you're isolated, that nobody understands. And it's these moments where we take ourselves and our feelings and emotions can overtake us, and we can start to believe it. But again, it's recognizing that's a complete lie. Because his word will literally bring us life in an instant. And that's what I really want you to grasp hold of this morning. His word can literally bring you life in an instant. Because darkness can come and surround you. But his word's the light. His word's the lamp. And his word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when the lie comes in that you're alone, that nobody understands, nobody cares, nobody really gets you, he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's the truth. And this morning, I just want to encourage you and bring you words of truth, because those words of truth are literally going to bring you life. They are literally going to take you from a place of darkness to a place where things, suddenly you know where you're going. And I think, how do we truly discern what is God's heart for us? How do we truly discern? How do we get a proper understanding of what the Lord's heart really is for us in life? I hear so many people struggle at times with God's will and what does he want for me? And recently I was chatting to somebody and I was talking to them about what Marcel was doing in Europe and the network of Grace Churches. And this person's a friend, and they're not part of this church, but they were sort of saying, well, isn't really every church in grace anyway, you know, because, you know, obviously to be saved, we receive it by grace. And I said, well, no, absolutely. You know, we all experience God's grace to be a Christian. But for so many, that's where it stops. For so many, it's like that. There's all the grace. There's all the grace you're ever going to need. Jesus accepts you for who you are. Now, this is how you have to live. Okay. And so this amazing, abundant grace that the Lord has for people just isn't received, because it just goes so far. It's like, oh, it's all brand new now. Don't mess it up. That's not right. And suddenly there's so much pressure. And so this person couldn't quite get their head around, well, what is it that Marcel's trying to do? What is this European network? But like Marcel was talking about last week, he was using the verse in Romans 5:17, get that one up. It's, for if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? See, if you're not confident of the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you're not going to clearly hear the voice of the Lord. And I know for my life, it's only as I have grown in confidence about God's grace towards me and his gift of righteousness that I am then able to read the word and truly understand what he's saying to me and truly understand his heart towards me and read verses in the light of his love for me. See, death reigned when Adam listened to the wrong voice. When Adam got distracted and listened to Eve, who'd listened to Satan, that's when death reigned. And if you think about it, each time we listen to a lie, we're going to see death manifest in our lives in different ways. Okay? So death can be a lack of hope. It could be fear, it could be worry, anger, frustration, broken relationships, it could be whatever it manifests in. That's what we're going to see happening. But it starts with listening to the voice that's contrary to the Lord's voice. This is why we feed on and we meditate on God's word. And this is why our hearts and minds need to be continually expanded to God's heart towards us. Because we're always tempted to look down. It's just human nature to look down, isn't it? And to not look up and see his goodness. And if you think about Jesus, whenever he was in the wilderness and the enemy came and tried to tell him lies, remember, and he tried to tempt him and he tried to distract him, what was his first reply? He said, "It is written." So he went back to his father's words and he quoted them at the devil. And what did he say? He said, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And most of you guys, the ones of you who know me well, you know I am not good without my food. Isn't that right? Like, I hear people saying they miss breakfast and they miss lunch. I'm like, what? Seriously? I have actually created, Sarah Jane is on the same page with me in this, we've created another meal because there is no way you can get from breakfast to lunch without something in between. And I'm not talking about a biscuit because that's never going to cut it. So Sarah Jane and I have a second breakfast. It's 10:30. We're both the same because we do it at Mums and Tots every week. Every day in life, I have to do my little schedule of whatever I'm doing around. I need to be somewhere at 10:30 to get my porridge. Otherwise, I'm hangry till lunchtime. It just doesn't go well. So I know what it's like to go without food. I know what I'm like. Andrew knows what I'm like without food. He's always like making sure, just feed her. Children, step away. If she hasn't been fed, it's not pretty. It just doesn't go well with me. So I know that I don't ever want to mistreat my body because I know what it's like. I've literally collapsed if I do. But when we're talking about real life here. In the natural, none of us, unless we've gone completely nuts, are going to starve ourselves. Do you know what I mean? None of us are going to go on a hunger strike or anything crazy like that. We're not going to do those kind of things because we know how to take care of ourselves, don't we? But that's just to survive. That's to exist. That's not to live. That's not right. And what does Jesus say? Man cannot live by bread alone. Now, do you want to survive? Do you want to exist? Or do you want to live? Because I want to live. And I'm not saying this to condemn us and make us go like, oh, she's just telling us we've got to read our Bibles more. I'm saying this because it's life. Do you know what I mean? I'm saying this because I want us to thrive, like we were talking about in other things. I want us to discover the breadth and depth of the love that God has for us. And I want us to all thrive in life. But I know I don't thrive when I don't feed myself, when I don't nourish myself, when I don't meditate on his word. And I know in the natural what it's like if I, to be honest, I'm not really a junk food person because it just doesn't fill me. But I need to eat well to get by. But I know how much of God's food that I need to really live. And I know how much that is his heart for me, because if you think of, like we've been singing this morning about what he has done for us, the depth, the breadth, the length, the breadth of his love for us, it's so incredible. And he wants to pour all that upon us. But how does he give that to us, and how do we receive that? You know, from the very beginning, he spoke, and that's where life comes. He spoke, and that's how he created. His words bring life. And, you know, in Proverbs it tells us, you know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. There is so much that he wants to pour out on us, and there's so much life that he wants us to embrace and receive. But he can't force us. Just like we can't force our kids to eat healthy things, we can keep trying to put them in the lunch boxes and try to make nice meals and tempt them to try better food, but we can't force them to eat it. He can't force us either. But think of how much, I know many of you as a parent, how much you want your kids to do well, eat well, do all of those things, but how much more does he want to see us fulfilling every desire that he has for us? But I wanted to encourage you that even the tiny bits that we take each time we digest part of his word, that we're replacing wrong thoughts and we're bringing in his goodness. So every little bit of his word that you digest and that you meditate on and that you allow to seep into your heart, it's seeds that are planted that is going to bring forth incredible life. And I wanted to share with you a little bit about, I know Andrew has mentioned a number of times, just part of our journey of a really entering into grace and understanding the difference that it's made. And for me, it all started with a wrong belief, because I remember as a student when I was at Sheffield Uni going to this talk, and I had kind of drifted away from God for a couple of years. So when I was in my fourth year at uni, I was really kind of going to everything Christian to keep myself on track and make sure I didn't drift away again. And I went to a talk by some missionaries, and they were brilliant and inspiring about what they were doing. But part of what the lady shared was that she'd never been able to have children, which she said, because that was obviously not what the Lord meant for me, because he sent me on the mission field instead. And I understand for people who've gone through difficult and disappointing circumstances that sometimes they can try and make sense of them in their own logic and find an answer for it. And for her, obviously that felt like that was the answer, that this was obviously what God wanted, so that's why this hadn't happened. But for me, that put in a seed of doubt then of like, oh, would God do that? And I remember it putting fear in me, because I remember thinking like, I would never want that to happen to me. And then years later, obviously, whenever Andrew and I got married, and then after a number of years started wanting to have kids and things didn't happen, I just always remember that little lie playing at the back of my head of, well, maybe that isn't God's plan for me. Maybe that's just not what he wanted, because that didn't work out for other people who loved him and believed in him. But then you have this kind of inward turmoil, because you read verses like in Psalm 37 verse 4, when it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And you think, wow, that's amazing. Oh, but then is that God's plan for my life? And you go through this whole, you know, journey of wrestling inside, because this doesn't line up with this bit. And because you've heard something from the front and it's almost given like weight and authority, you think that, well, then they must have got that right. And I think for me, before Ben was born, that was my biggest struggle, was maybe God's plan is different from the plan that I have. And it was only when you go deep in the word and understand the word and really seek out his truth that they then start to line it up with, but God's a good God and God's a loving father. And so many of us today are walking through situations. It could be your career, it could be ministry, it could be relationships or family. But there's something where you've really got a desire for it, but deep down there's a fear. Would God really do that for me? Would he really give me that? Would he bless me in that way? We think maybe we've been wired and we've been given desires, but who's given us those desires? Who's wired us? It's God himself. So why would he wire us one way with certain interests and talents and dreams and whatever, and then make you do something completely different just because that's who he is? We would never do that to our kids. We would never see our kids be amazing at sport and then say, no, you can't do that. You've got to go and play the flute. It wouldn't make any sense, would it? And yet somehow with God, sometimes we think that he's going to do something different. But then when we really know him, when we recognize his voice, we can recognize that where the lies come in. And after Ben was born, we kind of thought, oh, that was great. You know, that's like that period of barrenness and trying to seek God and, you know, it's all gone. And then we actually went into another journey. And even though it was no longer a journey of being childless, because obviously we had Ben at that stage, we still found ourselves where we were walking around professing that God's good, that he's faithful to his promises, that he'll do what he said he'll do. And we were wanting another child, and everybody knew, and then nothing happened. And we had an even longer wait. So it was like the 6.5 years between Ben and Hope. And that was a really tough time for us, in the sense of we were doing this church and we were the church that were that name it and claim it, as we've been told by, you know, other people were sort of saying, oh, they're the health and wealth, name it and claim it freaks. And people were saying, but sure, it doesn't work for them because look at their situation. And you could often feel a fraud because you were believing and saying something and yet your life wasn't lining up with it. And just like Marcel was talking about last week, you know, there are, just for so many of us, there can be these things where we know that God is good. We're assured of that deep in our hearts because he's shown us that. and we've seen it in his word, and we're convinced that he is good, and yet there's times we're still not seeing a breakthrough. And I think that's where another subtle lie of the enemy comes in, because we don't struggle with who God is, but we struggle with what's wrong with me. That's not right. And suddenly the enemy takes our attention off. No, it's not God, because you know that he's good. You know that he's faithful. You know he'll do what he's promised. Something must be wrong with you then. Why can't you receive this? And suddenly our enemy gets our eyes completely off God and back onto ourselves, and we look down and we start looking at what we've done wrong, because we know that Jesus died on the cross. We know that he provided everything for us. We know his work is finished, and we could almost recite all those things, and we could tell everybody else all the right answers, just like we joke about in our small group. Just say it was, you know, it's just like the Sunday school thing. It was Jesus. It's the finished work. It's, you know, we know it all in our heads, and yet we feel like there's a barrier on the inside. And this is where I've realized if we don't understand our righteous identity, we're going to live with a sense of guilt and condemnation. And Andrew and I often felt just like, why are we seeing the opposite? Why are we seeing the opposite of what we believe? But it's just the lie of the enemy to say you're not good enough and you don't have what it takes. And you could look at, I remember reading Psalm 84, verse 11, and it's, no good thing does he withhold from those who are righteous. And before I really understood the new covenant, I was under the whole, like, if I'm righteous, if I can be righteous, then there's nothing that God's not going to give me. And then when I understood the new covenant, it's like, but Lord, I know that you love me. I know that you accept me. But it took me years and years of listening to that to truly, truly believe it. And I'm still on that journey now. But I think so often we think if we just can quote the verse and, you know, say it often enough, we'll get it. But for me, it was really about having encounter moments where actually I was completely honest with the Lord, where I actually could go to him and say, Lord, I know you, you're my Father, and I actually struggle to believe some of this is true. And I remember one time Andrew had gone off on a mission trip, and I was at home, and it was over just having another child, and I remember just feeling like, Lord, where are you in all of this? Because I feel like I know what your word is, but it's just not happening. And the Lord took me to Hebrews 12:2. And I realized suddenly, just like it was exactly what Margaret said this morning, it was nothing to do with me and my faith. It was about him and his faith. And it's in Hebrews 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And it suddenly made me realize it doesn't matter if one day I feel it inside, and if another day I just feel so empty and alone or whatever, because he is the one that is faithful. And it's his gift of faith, like Andrew's preached, that he's given me. And I no longer had to try and get it all right on the inside. He'd done it for me. And in Galatians 2:20, where it says, I've been crucified with Christ, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I realize he doesn't expect me to have anything in order to receive, but I just need to listen to his voice and stop listening to the other voices. And the thing of just, what are you listening to? What is the voice going on in the inside of us? And I think for Andrew and I, our personal journey of what we went through, of like truly just getting to that place of receiving from the Lord and no longer thinking that it was anything that we had to do, kind of prepared us with pioneering the church and the things that we've gone through here. Because as most of you know, for a lot of years, we struggled under a shadow because there was continual voices saying things against us, and there wasn't any affirming voice from the outside saying that we believe in you. But in all of that, it made us press into the one voice that we needed to hear. And so many times, you know, we'd say, like Marcel and those other guys, I wish we'd met you sooner. But then in other ways, because we had to just listen to the one voice, then God has built a strength in us that I hope will now lead us into what he's called us to. But I remember whenever things went really, really difficult in the church, there was a verse that Jean actually shared at the time, and she said, I don't know if you even remember, Jean, she said, the verse, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. remember one time that you said that, and it's one that Marcel referred to recently. And it's just so incredible, isn't it, that the Lord knows everything. He knows every tactic that the enemy is going to use in your life, but he's already providing the answer for you. So the enemy isn't creative. He can just keep doing the same things. So you might, whatever situation you're going through, if you were really honest and chatted to other people, it's going to be the same types of situations going on in their lives. It might different characters, different, you know what I mean? But it's all the same types of things because he uses the same lies with everybody. And he goes after, and I think we need to be realistic that he does go after things in our lives. He'll go after our marriages. He'll go after our families. He'll go after our relationships. He'll go after our hopes and our dreams and our aspirations. But you know what? The Lord already knows these things. And the enemy especially doesn't want to see a church rising up in this truth. So how much more did he want to put us out? And as much as I think he didn't want Andrew and I to conceive and he doesn't want to see marriages blessed and children coming forth knowing his truth, how much more did he not want to see a whole generation of people truly understanding his word and rising forth and up into everything that God had called them to be? How much more did he want to strike us out, realistically? But praise God that his strength is greater. Praise God that nothing that the enemy is ever going to do will ever come to pass in our lives if we listen to the voice of the Lord. And every voice that rises up against us will be shut down. So praise God that whatever his battle, whatever the enemy's plans are for our lives, the Lord's plan is so much greater, and he has already gone before you to provide the way out. He's already seen ahead. And I think that's the part that we sometimes can find ourselves in a situation where we're thinking, God, where are you? God's right there because he already foresaw this. But just like Marcel was saying last week, what we can see is a wall. It's a step for us to go further into his goodness, into his blessings, to rise up further into the fullness of everything that he has for us. And yet our biggest victory is often not on the outside, but it's on the inside, isn't it, first? And we'll see it eventually on the outside, but it's a believing what God has for us. And it's not giving up, because there's so many times we're going to be tempted to give up. So many times. I know for Andrew's been honest about what it was like here, and there's so many times that he wanted to give up and quit. And there were so many times I told him not to. Just keep going, just keep going. And then I almost got to a place where I felt like, am I being unfair on him? You know, because is this truly too much for us to carry? And does he feel so boxed in that he has no other options? Because I'm just going, keep going. It's going to be better, it's going to be better. But you know what? The Lord will give us incredible strength. And like Margaret was saying, he is faithful. He is true. We can trust him even in our weakest moments. We don't need to find something within ourselves. We can completely trust him. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart can perceive what God has prepared for those who love him. And he loves us no matter what. Isn't that amazing? No matter what. So I want you this week to think about the voices that are going on. And be honest. And really just take time to think, where did that thought come from? Because it can come in the slightest things. I only realized maybe about a couple of years ago, I used to wake up in the morning with a feeling of not being good enough. That when I started to pray, it was always from the sense of trying to say the right things to please God first. And then I could pray normally almost. But it was just this deep down, and I was also talking about at the beginning, you can sometimes have this deep down sense of, I don't quite meet the mark. I'm not quite good enough. And I remember the first thing the Lord did was show me that. It was like suddenly going, why do you think that when you pray? Why is your prayer first this trying to get right with me? Why do you feel you need to do that? You're already right with me. And from that, I started to change the way I approached God, change the way I prayed. And now when I wake up, it is genuinely with a sense of, I'm so thankful. But it's not trying to get God to do anything. It's just, I'm so thankful you already love me. I'm so thankful that you're already taking care of me. And I'm so thankful for what you're going to do with me today and with our family. And even when sometimes you can have amazing prayers in the morning and then the day can take a course that doesn't quite look like how you'd imagined it to be, and the kids and everybody else isn't quite behaving the way you'd spoke out they were going to be that morning. But it's knowing that God knew all of that, and at the end of the day, he's still there as much, and he's still as present, and he's still as pleased with you. Even if what you wanted to see during that day and what you hoped and prayed would happen and how you believed and wanted to handle situations didn't quite happen, it doesn't matter. At the end of that day, he's still as pleased with you. His love is still there for you. I just feel like we don't need to have all the answers. We just need to know that he's good. Isn't that right? We don't need all the answers at all, because he is the only answer. But when we approach him just knowing that, God, you're good. God, you're good. We're going to receive. And I just wanted to finish by just sharing a couple of things. One was from Acts. Because Marcel was talking about, you know, when you read the beginning of Acts, and you sort of, then you look around and go, why is our church not like that? But it said, everyone around was in awe. This is in Acts 2. All those wonders and signs done through the apostles, and all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home, every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw, and every day their number grew as God added those who were saved. I love the thing where it said, every meal a celebration. Isn't that lovely? But what had captivated their hearts? It was the Lord's amazing, incredible love for them. And then, like Marcel was talking about last week, they just shared that with each other. And that amazing grace that they'd received, they were pouring out on the people around them. They weren't looking at each other and their failings and their difficulties. It's not that all those people were perfect and just holy and floating around like, you know, angels and things. I'm sure. But they didn't see those things. That's not what got their attention. What got their attention was who God said they were and how he saw them. And that's my prayer and my hope for this church, is that's how we're going to see ourselves. We're going to use our words to encourage people. We're going to be aware that there's a voice that's playing in people's head that isn't always a good one, and we're going to do everything we can to speak life and truth into each other so that we can become everything that God's called us to be, that we can be part of that community of people who just love and care for each other in a way that's beyond words because it's supernatural. I'm just going to completely finish with this bit from Romans 8. It says, God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. After God made that decision by what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then after getting them established, he stayed there with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. None of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. That's his heart towards us. That is his heart towards us. There is nothing that he wants to ever stand between his love towards us. And he just wants us to receive that this morning. Listen to his voice. Hear his heart. If there's things going on this week that make you feel sad, that make you feel down, that frustrate you, that whatever, anything that's going against God's heart for you, just bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, replace those thoughts with what you think about me. Replace those thoughts with your heart for me. Replace those thoughts I have about somebody else with your heart towards them, and allow his love to fill you. Amen.